This is the Daily Dope, presented by The Gaming Gang for Wednesday, January 25th, 2012. It's time for another irrelevant look at the gaming news of the day. Hi again, I'm your host, Jeff McAleer. January's been fairly quiet for much of the news, so I'm hoping that February is going to start kicking it up a notch. Normally does. But regardless, there's still plenty to talk about, so let's get to it. In the near future, on the western coast of New Metropolis, an evil that has lain dormant for centuries is about to be awakened to the 21st century. Forces of darkness and magic strive to unleash a horror upon the earth unlike any mankind can remember. The only forces capable of stopping it are rendered impotent by an age-old fear and hatred. Will humanity set aside their differences and stand as one against the darkness, or will this be humanity's final twilight? And no, we're not talking about that horrible series of movies and books, Twilight. Oh. Trinity, the first series, follows a trio of souls whose fates are intertwined. Mark Jarris, the last classically trained mage, fights the good fight as a vigilante in a city overrun by crime. Kira Neal, a young woman and skilled hunter, stalking the shadows for murderers and magic-using blights upon humanity. And the enigmatic Charles Faust, whose cool and calm demeanor belie a centuries-old heart of darkness and unnatural lust for power. Final Twilight is an urban fantasy expandable card game. In it, players take on the role of characters, modern knights and mages, dueling in the shadows, carrying on a war that has lasted for centuries. Players construct their own decks with characters from the setting, each with their own skills, powers, and tactics, in a wide assortment of cards, competing to take back the night or to claim it for themselves. Final Twilight is not a collectible card game. Each series allows players to select just what they want and not buy another thing. Trinity opens with a two-player starter kit, and from there players can purchase expansion packs, containing four copies, the playable limit, of an array of cards suited to that theme. Build any deck you can imagine quickly and easily from your own collection, or share your collection and duel with friends. Players construct decks around the major characters featured in Final Twilight storylines. These characters determine the powers, abilities, and cards the player can utilize. Gameplay takes place within the city of New Metropolis, with a series of location cards set up at the start of the game as a game board. Cards are played at a given location as both players navigate the city in search of their opponent for a final showdown. Cards are played using a pair of resources, money for real-world allies' effects and abilities, and Morin, a mage's life force for special powers, supernatural creatures and effects, and more. Players start with a base amount and grow and weaken as they play cards and abilities and win and lose in combat. Combat is performed with a die roll. Modifiers from weapons, armors, ancient devices, and more influence the outcome. Each player tallies their totals and compares results. The winner is the one who deals damage, not just an attacker, making combat risky and uncertain and giving even weak characters a fighting chance. The winner is the last player left standing. Players who run out of Morin, life, lose, as do players who exhaust their deck of cards. Additional play modes allow groups of four to play teams or even allow one player to go solo against an opposing character. You can learn more about Final Twilight as it has launched as a project on Kickstarter. You say you like contests? Well, here are a few that you can jump right onto, although a couple of them are for kids' games, but they are pretty easy to enter. Granted, the first really isn't a contest that you'll get something from, but it's for a good cause. If Bananagrams gets 1,000 new Facebook likes and 1,000 Twitter followers, the company will donate 200 games to the Toy Industry Foundation. Game Rights running a contest in which you can win something, and it's a copy of the new Rory Story Cube's Actions, and it goes to the person who submits the judge's favorite story based on the depicted role of the cubes. Hasbro's annual Fun and Game event is going on, and this includes coupons, savings, as well as hourly giveaways for 43 days. The coupons are only for moms, though. Isn't that a little sexist? The giveaways are for kids ages 6 to 13. Mayfair Games also has a contest currently going on, and they'd like to know what games will you be playing during the upcoming holidays, which I assume must be Valentine's Day, Easter, maybe April Fool's Day? They like to know what you're going to be gaming with your friends and family and other loved ones. The prize is pretty cool. It's a copy of Automobile Deluxe, which retails for $120. 10 other lucky winners will get another piece in their Catanimal set with the adorable Catanimal Wood. So, let Mayfair know what gaming you'll be enjoying in the months ahead, and you could be a winner. Simply go to mayfairgames-contest.com and enter. For those in the UK, Spinning Dice Games is celebrating Salute's 40th anniversary, and you could win two pairs of Salute tickets and free Mantic miniatures. This year, Salute celebrates 40 years of offering the best UK event for all things miniatures and wargaming. It's also a great place for finding out the latest games or getting a demo of the game you always wanted to play. It's also a fantastic place to get your wargaming miniatures from, and there are some really great independent miniature makers all under one roof. Held in London's Excel Center in the London Docklands on April 21st, it promises to outdo all previous Salute events. SpinningDiceGames.com are celebrating Salute's 40th by giving away two pairs of tickets to two lucky winners. They'll also receive a plastic sprue kit from Mantic Games of either dwarves or orcs to whet the appetite for Salute's miniatures bonanza in April. Three lucky runners-up will also get those same plastic sprue minis for their entries. All you have to do is follow them on Twitter at SDiceGames and use the #SDGComp hashtag or like their Facebook page and pop your answer into a special thread they've prepared. Answer the question, I would give a salute to my hero, blank, because. Winners will be picked out at random on February 11th. And the winners will be notified through private messaging on Facebook or Twitter. Be as inventive as you like with your answer, and be as crazy as you like, but keep it clean. While we're on the subject of conventions, VolCon is almost upon us here in the Valley of the Sun, and our friends Jay and Rick, who are organizing the two-day event, are sharing a special discount code for you to save $5 off your convention badge. This is an exclusive to the Gaming Gang. Just register at vol-con.com and at the checkout, enter the coupon code GAMINGGANG, all one word. That's all you have to do, and you'll save 11%, or in other words, $5 off your pre-registration. Admission is $50 at the door. And remember, VolCon will be held February 25th and 26th at the Phoenix Convention Center. Privateer Press has a sale on their back issues of No Quarter magazine. They'd like to thank you for making their No Quarter magazine subscription program a huge success. To celebrate, they're offering Mark I back issues for $1. Now you can catch up on all the great content you might have missed and fill in your No Quarter collection. No Quarter magazine features 6 years of great content, a veritable treasure trove of awesome painting and hobby articles, riveting Iron Kingdoms fiction, and much, much more. For a taste of what each issue offers, visit Privateer Press and check out the contents. To place your order, just go to the Privateer Press online store and select your back issues. For those of you in the continental U.S., you'll want to place your No Quarter back issue order separately from other items you may want to purchase from the online store. That way, they'll ship those magazines via media mail to keep the cost of postage down. And of course, media mail is only available to residents of the U.S. and does exclude Alaska and Hawaii. And to make sure you never miss an issue, be sure to subscribe to No Quarter Magazine. Not only will you receive the best source of Privateer Press news and content around, but you also get a free set of No Quarter dice. And while we're talking about reading, swing on over to MTV Geek and take a peek at the interesting interview they have with Kathleen Capisano, Vice President for Toys and Games, and Ellen Heaney-Miser, Lead Toy and Game Buyer for Barnes & Noble, as they discuss how the retail chain has become one of the best sources to pick up games for those without, or maybe even with, a nearby friendly local game store. It's a pretty interesting read. And finally, I don't know about you folks, but if I had kids and I lived in Europe, there's nothing more that I'd love to drag my little ones to than a Napoleon Bonaparte theme park. Yep, the hell with Euro Disney, kids. We're heading to Napoleon Land. Napoleon Land, the brainchild of former French minister and history buff Yves Diego, is being touted as a rival to Disneyland. Assuming that is, it can gather the £180 million needed to leave the drawing board. The plan is to build the unlikely amusement park on the site of the brilliant but doomed French leader's final victory against the Austrians in the Battle of Montereau in 1814, just south of Paris. The 1815 Battle of Waterloo, in which the Duke of Wellington ended Napoleon's rule in France, could be recreated on a daily basis, with visitors perhaps even being able to take part in the reenactments. They'll also be able to take in a water show, recreating the 1805 Battle of Trafalgar, in which Lord Nelson scored a decisive victory over a French and Spanish coalition aboard HMS Victory, but died in the process. But the park will also give pride of place to Napoleon's greatest victories, in particular the Battle of Austerlitz, in which the Russo-Austrian army was decisively defeated. "We're not going to take sides," Mr. Yago said in a reference to widely differing accounts of Napoleon's legacy in Britain and France, ranging from brutal dictator to heroic visionary. Myself personally, I think he was a bit of both. The park is also expected to house a museum, a hotel, shops, restaurants, and a congress center. Other curious potential attractions include a ski run through a battlefield surrounded by the frozen bodies of soldiers and horses, and a recreation of Louis XVI being guillotined during the Revolution, the precursor to Napoleon's rise to power, of course. "It's going to be fun for the family," Mr. Yago says. Napoleon looms large in the French national psyche, but has no national museum to his name. The park would help keep him on the map while boosting the local economy, with a potential 1.5 million visitors in its first year. Mr. Yago hopes that construction work can start in 2014, the park open its doors in 2017. He's due to provide more details on the attraction on the 18th of February, the 198th anniversary of the Battle of Montereau. I don't know, I'm sure a few listeners might remember back to the day when Disney was looking to create an Americana-themed park right next to the Gettysburg, Pennsylvania battlefield. Thankfully, that fiasco never came about. And I'm sure our American psyche is a bit different regarding the American Civil War than that of the French and Napoleon's campaigns. But I wonder what the average French citizen thinks of this idea, or average European citizen. Plus, I'm not sure how entertaining a ski run through a battlefield surrounded by the frozen bodies of soldiers and horses, followed by watching Louis XVI being guillotined, be a... But hey, that's just me. That's it for today's show, and I'll be back tomorrow. And until then, happy hump day.